In the name of Jesus, amen. It seems like a good place to start these midweek Advent services. True, in the beginning was the Word, but as the church looks forward to Christmas once again and celebrating the birth of the enfleshed God, it does one good to look when God became incarnate, when the Son of God, the Word, became flesh in order to dwell among us. It was to a lowly maiden that God sent his messenger Gabriel, whose name means man of God, to announce the good news. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. When Mary saw and heard Gabriel, she was troubled. And Gabriel continued, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." With Mary's reply, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," she was set off down the road of bearing the Savior of the world. She went from lowly maiden to the woman who would bear God, watch him grow into a man who would take into his Mary-given flesh the sins of the world, and watch him go to Calvary and be nailed to a cross. Mary was given a difficult cross to bear herself. A sword would pierce through her own soul also. But conceived in her womb is her Savior. If she fully understood what that would entail the night of her heavenly visit, I can't say. But she was made keenly aware her Son, the Son of God, would be given the name Jesus. Yeshua, Yahweh saves, and that he would save her too. Growing in the womb is God in the flesh. He is God, do not doubt it, nor be deceived to think or believe otherwise. Veiled in flesh, he is the Godhead unseen. Sure, you would have been able to tell that Mary was pregnant, but the mystery of the incarnation is that the flesh of God is veiled in flesh. God hides the person of his Son in flesh and hides his Son's flesh, those first 9 months, in the flesh of his mother. He was conceived and born as you were, and all of it without sin. The incarnation is about the hiddenness of God. For one thing, no one born with sin can look upon God in his glory and live. So the glory of God is hidden with the person of God in flesh, which is hidden by way of his mother's womb, as everyone for about 9 months was hidden in the wombs of their mothers. There within Mary can be said is that of which St. Paul wrote, as he paraphrased from the prophet Isaiah, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Dear hearers, rejoice this evening in the unseen. Rejoice at all times in what is unseen by these eyes. For just as Jesus was hidden from sight in the womb of his mother, so now he deigns to hide himself from sight in other means. For one, by God-given faith, you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, is hidden in his word, given and proclaimed to you. You have the scriptures. You have gospel preaching. You have the words of holy absolution. And in each of these, you have Jesus present in his means of grace. And where Jesus is present in his means of grace, he is present to give forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. For another, by God-given faith, you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, is hidden in plain water and ordinary bread and wine. For when his word is applied to these simple elements, water becomes the washing of regeneration in which the Holy Spirit is given to produce and strengthen faith in the Son of God, and Jesus is given for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And bread becomes the body of Christ sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, and wine becomes the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, because Jesus is present in these means. Now the eyes and ears of flesh do not perceive Jesus in his means. They look and sound like ordinary words, a book printed as any other, a speech given as any other. They look, taste, and feel like ordinary water, bread, and wine, a bath like any other, perhaps, a meal like any other outside of some ritualistic use. They are Jesus, though, even though there is nothing in them that you experience by the flesh to verify that you are given and receive Jesus, even as these are spoken into your flesh, applied onto your flesh, and placed into your flesh. And it is for that reason that you can so easily succumb to a gross error. It goes something like this: Jesus contains the Son of God. If you had lived in ancient Judea and could have merely gazed upon Jesus, you would not have known that he was the Son of God. And even if he had told you that he was, your experience and sight might tell you otherwise. This might help to provide some understanding for the constant demands for signs and miracles. He looked like any other man. Ordinary, no beauty that he would be desired. But God is spirit, the scriptures say, not flesh. So with that in mind, yet still knowing that Jesus is God, logic would dictate that Jesus was a man into which God took up residence, for lack of another term. At its simplest, the error is that Jesus is a man possessed by God, as if God were any demon that, from time to time, takes possession of a person. Now, there aren't very many adoptionists walking around, nor many adherents to Sabellianism, Docetism, Arianism, Apollinarianism, or any other such heresies. You and almost all who call themselves Christians hold to the truth that Jesus is God. Jesus wasn't and is not now merely a man who simply contains God in his second person. Christians do confess, however, that the full glory of God was hidden in his flesh. Nonetheless, he is fully God. There are those, however, who will boldly confess that the Bible contains the Word of God. It only contains Jesus. There, in simple words, in every jot and tittle, Jesus is hidden. But he is fully there, just as he is fully God in authentic flesh. To confess that the Scriptures only contain the Word of God allows you to pick and choose which parts are those that are Jesus, that are the Word of God, and which ones aren't. And it's all up to you. From this springs all sorts and conditions of error, such as the ordination of women, condoning homosexuality and abortion, and calling any other sin not a sin. And of course, if one can say that Jesus is not present in his word, or fully present, then someone else can say that Jesus is not present in his sacraments. Baptism becomes merely a sign, a moment and rite that signifies the dedication to Christ of the believer. The Lord's Supper is reduced to merely a memorial meal done in the remembrance of Christ. and his sacrifice on the cross, where Jesus is not truly flesh and blood present, but that the bread and wine merely represent Christ's body and blood, or perhaps he's only spiritually present, and that as often as you eat and drink it can be reinterpreted to mean as rarely as you do so. What does the word of God declare, however? Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood." The word is right there in the Greek, even though it doesn't have to be. Also, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Some translations have communion instead of participation. There is a union there. The word says baptism now saves you. Also, he saved us not because of works done in us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." Also, all scripture is breathed out by God, and scripture cannot be broken. The word says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The man of God proclaimed, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." The word of God declares to you, even as it gives you, Jesus. The word of God is Jesus. Jesus is God. Through the word of God and in his means of grace, God reveals himself to you through his Son and gives himself to you for the forgiveness of your sins, for your eternal life, for your salvation. Your experience and fleshy sight and hearing do not reveal these things to you, but you perceive them from him through faith. Therefore, there has to be much rejoicing over the hiddenness of God, because though hidden, he is revealed, and he is here. And you are forgiven by him for all of your sins. In the name of Jesus, amen.